Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Code DELIVERY to get three free deliveries on groceries. Walmart. Save money. Live better. $50 minimum. Offer expires March 31st, 2020. Delivery available in select areas.
Spencer here with ATC Fitness. We have exciting news. All premium members of ATC Fitness now have access to our newly added hydro massage lounges. That's right, for only $25 a month, you'll have access to 18 state-of-the-art facilities, access to tanning, and now access to the best massage unit on the market. Come in today and relax with a free demo. You deserve it. Don't forget, you can also sign up online, atcfitness.com. ATC Fitness, exercise your right to look good.
This is Gary Parrish. The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar is a great place right next to the University of Memphis campus on the Highland Strip. And if you have an event, a birthday party, a wedding party, a graduation party, any kind of party, book some space at the Bluff. You can rent out any part of the Bluff, the front to the back to the mezzanine, and the place is big enough to accommodate 600 people. They can cater the event for you, or you can provide your own catering. Terrific rates, and you can trust that someone on staff is going to be on site to make sure your event is perfect. TheBluffMemphis.com and click the Host Your Event tab to get it booked today. TheBluffMemphis.com.
Hey, Mid-South, this is Chris Murphy with Inman Murphy Termite and Pest Control. We'd like to wish you a happy Thanksgiving, and if we can keep the creatures out of your party, give us a call at 388-0852. That's 388-0852 or inman-murphy.com.
We're brothers, we're happy, and we're singing, and we're
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN. Presented live and locally by the Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Hey, who that, man, this what you been waiting for? I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, though, cause now I'm getting hot enough to even want to stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television, and did I fail to mention? Your girl is out of missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrated, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my tape was turned. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that? I got that flame. Who that? I got that flame. Who that? I got that flame. So don't worry about my name. I got to say.
All right, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Boy, do we have a show for you. Feels packed to the gills, John Martin. Feels like a big day, of course, because the University of Memphis will be in action today against a ranked Oregon team. It's a big one tonight, ladies and gentlemen, as far as we know, at least right now. They got a big ticket playing in it. Last night, too, your Memphis Grizzlies, John, pick up their first road win. Jaren Jackson was phenomenal. I'll ask you about your thoughts on Jaren a little bit later in the show. John, are you ready?
I've been up to my neck in the James Wiseman stuff. And honestly, I just haven't had much of an opportunity to watch what's going on with the Grizz right now. But I was glad to see that Jaren had a nice night last night. I was very glad to see that.
You can tell you're happy about it.
It is cold outside. And I saw a picture that's circulating around Facebook of a naked man walking down Poplar.
It must be a crazy fool.
It is that time of year. I mean, people are going stir crazy in this city.
Are you for real? Like, there's a real naked man walking down Poplar, or are you just kidding?
Oh, that was earlier this morning. It was a large naked man.
Oh, see, I don't need to joke then, because that's clearly a mental issue.
Listen. You can see it right here.
Oh, yeah. He's butt. He's butt naked.
butt naked,
as you say.
But anyway, it is.
Brad, you know about that?
I didn't hear about the naked dude.
That's a hell of a way to start the day in Memphis.
That was powered by Radio.com Sports, brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. That guy probably needs one. He's walking around naked. Probably needs a job.
It was a white dude.
It was a white guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Let's find him some help, man. Anyway, we have a packed show for you today. Might be cold outside, but we're going to keep you warm in here.
I like that.
At 11:25, we're going to be joined by Robbie Hummel. He was on the call for Memphis and UIC, obviously, on Friday. Played at Purdue for basically 10 years. We will talk to Robbie Hummel about his thoughts on Memphis and the NCAA. You know, obviously, he has a perspective being a former Division I athlete, former Division I basketball player at Purdue.
SportsCenter actually used his perspective that night in their broadcast in the lead-up to the tease. It was, this is a joke.
Yeah.
So he said what he felt that night, and he felt pretty strongly, obviously.
Yeah, he said he came out a lot stronger than I thought, you know, a person on the broadcast team would come out, I guess.
Especially you're in the initial moments.
Absolutely.
Of it, right, where everybody's trying to figure out.
No doubt.
What take they should have. Robbie from the get-go was like, you know, this is wrong. I mean, pretty easy, though, in terms of how everyone's feeling about the NCAA right now, to think it stinks in terms of kind of some of the decisions they've made of late, no question.
Yeah, so we're going to talk to him at 11:25 about all of that. At 12:25, we're going to talk to Clay Travis. Clay Travis joins us every single Tuesday. He'll do that again today. We will talk to him.
He's a lawyer, right?
Yeah, I think he does have a law degree still. We'll talk to him about the James Wiseman case, get his thoughts on it. Does Memphis have one? What does he think of the lawsuit? We'll do that at 12:25. Right after that, we're going to be joined by the one and only Keelan Lawson. That's right. Nuts and Guts returns. Special appearance. One day only.
Good.
Keelan Lawson is going to join us.
I've been looking forward to his return for a long time.
At 12:45. Chandler Lawson plays for Oregon. Memphis plays Oregon tonight.
I know.
So we will talk to Keelan Lawson about all of that at 12:45 or so. And then at 1:20, we're going to be joined by the First Lady of Memphis basketball, the eternal First Lady of Memphis basketball. Her name is Vicky Finch.
Yep.
And she is going to be in studio with us at 1:20. And listen, we're going to talk to her about what she thinks about all this.
Well, yeah, I mean, just kind of pull the curtain back. It was a deal where Vicky says, look, I got something I need to say about Penny and James Wiseman. And when the First Lady of Tigers basketball tells you I got something to say, you make room for it. And so we'll have the First Lady of Tigers basketball, Vicky Finch, as even Penny refers to her, on at 1:20 and see what she has to say. Remember, I just wonder, Larry Finch, second year, if you'll remember, Sylvester Gray, Marvin Alexander were suspended, declared ineligible early in the season. I bet this feels a lot like that to her. We'll talk to her then, 1:20.
Yeah, she'll be in the studio in the third hour, so make sure you do not miss that. This tonight is a game that we have had circled, we have looked forward to, we have been anticipating for this Memphis basketball team for a long time.
You got the A crew on it too with Billis and Shulman.
Memphis taking on Oregon, number 13 ranked Memphis taking on number 14 ranked Oregon in Portland as part of the PK Invitational. The other side is Oklahoma, Oregon State. This is obviously the best side of the PK Invitational. Oregon is a 4-point favorite in this game. And, you know, I would imagine that is mostly related to the experience, you know, of Oregon. They have experienced guards. Peyton Pritchard obviously was the, you know, preseason Pac-12 player of the year, at least over at CBSSports.com. They got some upperclassmen on the perimeter.
Team starts 3 seniors and 1 junior.
Yeah, so it's not altogether.
And what essentially amounts to a home game. I know we've said that before, but it should be stated again in terms of why we're talking about who's favored here.
Right, and, you know, it's Memphis's first road game. You know what I mean? Like it's this young team's first time in a hostile environment, right?
Going against an experienced squad for the
most part. So it's not altogether surprising to me that Memphis is a dog in this game. Though I will tell you,
I could hear the but or the though coming. I could hear it. What are you about to do? Bop, 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 bop.
I like Memphis plus 4, man.
I heard that.
In fact, if I was in Tunica, I'd hit this pretty hard. I would hit this pretty hard if I was in Tunica today.
Well, you sound like a man that's feeling really, really good about what Penny Hardaway said and everybody else has said that James Wiseman going to play tonight.
I don't have any reason right at this point to doubt that. I mean, I really believe that, you know, at this juncture, you're kind of a bridge too far to turn back now.
Are you?
I think so. I mean, I just don't think you're going to curry any favor by sitting him at this point. I think that bet has been made. You know, I mean, I don't see the NCAA looking at Memphis and saying, you know what, you sat him in your biggest game of the year. We're gonna let you off easy. I don't see that. I mean, James's lawsuit is still going on. You know, I mean, that, you know, until that changes, I just don't see the NCAA having really any incentive.
Right. I could roll with that completely if I didn't know that you want a settlement, right? And if we didn't know that Memphis had said, right, outright before James Falls' lawsuit, you know what, we're going to sit them in a basic acknowledgement that they believe a violation had occurred. So the idea that Memphis wants to, right, the only option, fight, you know, play them until, no, you'd love to get a settlement too. You'd love for the thing to be over. I think there's some incentive for the NCAA to get this thing off the boards as well. We talked about that yesterday. But that said, I'm with you, John. Feels like he's going to play tonight, that you will continue this until further notice, until
right.
You feel like you either get an offer from the NCAA you like, or
right.
You're going to ride this thing out, I guess, with James's lawsuit. So much at stake here.
So I think we're at least going to get to next Monday. The
injunction day?
I think we're at least going to get to next Monday. And then depending on what happens there, I think you could see – I think whatever happens in that courtroom on Monday will really be a catalyst for the next step, whatever that could be, whether that's, you know, Memphis coming to the table or the NCAA coming to the table. I really think the injunction or whatever ends up happening, that will be a catalyst for change. In this case,
and just for you've been talking to a lot of lawyers of late, so you can straighten us out. Those of us that don't talk to a lot, you can straighten us out for us laymen. I guess that hearing.
Oh, I'm a layman.
That hearing is to take it from what from restraining order
a temporary
to
restraining order.
To injunction level.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So from a temporary restraining order to a preliminary injunction.
I mean, what's got to be presented in one of those? Is that a quick thing? Is that just
well?
You know,
so the way it was put to me was. 99% of the time, temporary restraining orders
go on through.
You get granted the injunction.
Right. That's just a procedural thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Right. And so, you know, this is 100% a delay mechanism, right?
Yeah.
That is what is happening in the courtroom. It is to keep James protected through this season, so that he can continue to play for Memphis. As it stands right now, it's to cover everybody's ass, basically. I mean, that is the purpose of the temporary restraining order. And that is the purpose of the injunction. And so that is, and I know that's kind of legalese, and I mean, trust me, it's coming from me. But that's the way I've kind of been, you know, that's the way it's been explained to me, is that it's a method and a means of protection to continue to have James play in the games.
It just feels, it's what I said, you know, if I'm Memphis, yeah, I don't take James to the side because these are separate sides at this point. I mean, I know it's nominally, but Memphis is as a defendant. If I'm Memphis, right, at this point, you have to stand with James. We've talked about what's the difference if you don't. If you just say, you know what, James, we can't. He's gonna leave here.
Yeah.
He becomes the number one pick. Does he say, hey, you know, Memphis didn't stand with me? What's that? How much damage could that do to your program? That's a lot right there. But what I know too, John, is that you know James is gonna be here for a year. You've got, you know what I'm saying? You've got a program that you think can succeed at a very high level after James is long gone from here.
Yep.
A lot of that depends, right, on if he says good or bad about you,
yep.
Right? But a lot of it going to depend, too, on whether you've got sanctions hanging over your program.
Exactly.
And so you're risking it all. And that's what I find. And that's why I have to feel like behind the scenes, you're trying to get to a settlement. But here's the most important thing. The person you may be trying to convince, right, is James.
Yeah.
Because you need to convince James that the best thing for your program, really, right, at least for the future, where you're not putting it all up for risk, the best thing for it is to say, which at one point the University of Memphis was clearly willing to do,
yep.
Is to say, you know what, a violation has occurred, let's pay it back. Let's get a suspension that we're all happy with, James, right? We don't think you should sit out a third of the way because we think you got to, so they cleared you at one point and they went back. Let's get it down to a number we can all agree on. Right? Because what you can't do is stray away from him. You need James. You need to be in lockstep with him. We realize what the risk is there for him.
No
so
question.
Really, the person you're trying to convince now, and I think we heard it in Penny's comments after that game against USIC, this is on James. You know, it's how far do you want to go with it, brother? Can you and us agree on, hey, maybe 4 games okay, maybe 5 games okay? You know, is there a number that's not? And to where you keep fighting this and keep using that case as leverage, you know what I'm saying, as much as you can.
No doubt.
That's, I think, where this thing feels like it is right now.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I mean, my interpretation of it is that Memphis would accept a suspension. You know, I think that the interested
fair,
part is
fair
and equitable.
There it is.
Fair and equitable.
There it is.
And what that means is if you guys came to us with a – and again, I don't know what the magic number is, right? I don't know what's too many games.
Yep, agreed. There's clearly something you feel is too many, and there's clearly something they don't, you would think.
I think 9 is too many.
I think nine would be.
Well, you know,
be,
they like to. I mean,
I think nine would be considered too many.
Again, tell me the difference between this one and the BYU case where they give the kid, what a third of the season, which is about the nine games, for what, 12,000?
Well, yeah, it was 12,000.
Again, you're trying to set a new precedent here. Why that shouldn't count for the James?
The difference is
because I'm
is that Memphis is those were like legitimate boosters in that case, right? And Memphis's contention is that Penny Hardaway was not and should not have been considered a booster, and that the indefinite tag is too vague, too open ended, and it should be more closely defined. He gave the donation 11 years ago. And I think Memphis is kind of saying, well, shouldn't there be a statute of limitations of some sort?
Not to mention he's the best player in college basketball. All this bad publicity ain't good for you. Get him on
you
the
You asked
floor.
Me what would be the difference. I think that would be the difference there. But what about five games? What about
I don't know how much
games?
I'd pay for it, but I'd buy it at some price there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's fair. But like four games, five games, I think that gets signed, sealed, delivered, done right now. You know, okay. I think like if that – but again, I don't think
that's what we – I know this is not to sound like fold up. I think that's what we all should be rooting for in terms of best case scenario. This program not facing possibly long-standing penalty that could ruin you, right? And then you remaining in lockstep, right, with the number one player in the country right now that who we feel like to some degree has been done wrong here.
Yes. And so anyway, like that's where it all stands. And we were kind of having this conversation off the air, but it's like, can you get up for a game like this one if you feel like there's a chance that later in the year it doesn't exist, right, the outcome?
I ain't gonna lie to you. It changes it for me, doesn't it, you?
You know, if it's vacated.
Just the idea that you could win this and possibly have it taken away from you later, does that not change the way you feel a little bit about the game? It does for me, just
well,
honestly speaking.
So I don't care about vacating.
I know you ready to go balls to the wall. We know. Pushing in all the chips,
well,
Mr. Poker Player. We know what you're ready to do.
I don't care about the vacating. What I would care about, though, and which would almost inevitably be a part of it, would be scholarship reductions, fines, you know, probation, tournament bans. That is what I would care about. So. But as it relates to tonight, to me, it is worth more to win a game and have it vacated than to pull your best player out of capitulation to the NCAA and most likely lose the game. Like I would rather win the game it taken away than pull my best player and likely just lose the game. Like that, but I realize that is a short-sighted and controversial like stance, and it's probably not the orthodox stance. I acknowledge that, but I'm just as a fan, like if I were a fan,
let's get the face paint on him, Brad. Puts Cullerman face paint. He's Mel Gibson in Braveheart right now. He's leading us.
He's going into the fire.
Risking it all.
Let's go.
If I were a fan of Memphis, right? I have been through so much crap the last 7 years, Jason.
Brother,
I have been through Tubby Smith. I have been through the last years of Josh Pass.
I can bring you're bringing the goosebumps up, John.
I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Okay? And so there is no doubt in my mind that I would rather the NCAA come and take it. Come and take it from me. But I'm going to put my best team on the floor tonight. And that involves big ticket. So,
wow.
I don't need an applause. I don't need an applause. This is not even, you know, and I realize that everybody else on this station is going to, poke fun at me for this and for this opinion, but.
Oh, no, John. No, it's the passionate.
But
it's the fight opinion.
I just.
You've got people. You've got more than you know in your corner.
But
they want to fight. You just threw a third bird to the NCAA, John. There were double birds out there. That was the third bird.
I am not going to play James Wiseman against the Illinois-Chicago Flames just to sit him in the next game against an actually good team. I'm not going to do that. That doesn't make sense to me. I mean, like, honestly, if Memphis does that, it's stupid. That's stupid.
We're going to survive.
What is stupid is to play. This is not even a rant. This is not even like this.
No, John,
it's
great. Just keep going.
But what is stupid would be to play James Wiseman against a team where you don't need him just to sit him against a team where you actually would. I mean, that's backwards. And if that's the and I can't imagine in any universe that is the plan. But if that happens, it is stupid. To me, it looks like nobody has any clue of what the vision is over there. Okay, what's our plan? So I think he's going to play tonight. I think the university is right to play him tonight. And listen, there are risks. There are risks in there are risks, Jason, when you walk outside of your house in the morning.
Oh, give me a break. This one's a little bit different than that one, bro.
There are risks when you decide to take your clothes off in 30-degree weather and walk down Poplar near 201.
He just needs mental help.
So I would just say, you know, if you feel like you have a case, which Memphis does, and they feel like they're on the right side of this, you know, trust your instinct, go with it and play them. You know, and I think that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to do that for the rest of the season. I think obviously, you know, if they don't get the injunction, that will obviously complicate everything. But I don't see any reason why they wouldn't get the injunction. So I'm excited about this game. You know, I think it's hilarious, frankly, that every game that Memphis plays until this is resolved is going to basically be like, well, James Wiseman is playing in this game as part of an injunction in Shelby County Court. Like I think that is absolutely hilarious. You know, I can't see why anybody in Memphis would feel the need to show the NCAA any kind of good faith. I don't feel like that's going to pay off. I don't feel like you're going to be rewarded for that. If I felt like the NCAA was capable of reciprocating that in some way, shape, or form, I'd feel a little bit better about it. But I don't trust that organization as far as I can throw it.
If you were totally buckling into the NCAA, you'd say, give us whatever penalty you have, and we'll take this lawsuit off the table with James. You're not doing that. You're actually trying to use the lawsuit, I imagine, as leverage to get to a settlement. We just said you're not going to take any number from them. You feel like you've been done wrong in this. Total fold, right? Total fold up. And that's what this is sort of being presented as if you come to sort of some sort of settlement. Total fold up is just taking whatever they give you. Memphis ain't trying to do that. They're clearly fighting here. They played the kid the other night. They've ruled him ineligible.
Right.
Like, this is what I'm resigned to. I'm okay with playing him tonight just in the sense that this thing's rolling right now. You are a national headline. You're throwing it up. And right now it feels like, at least in the court of public opinion, you are winning. And because this is a high-profile game, you will keep that flowing tonight on SportsCenter. When they're talking about Memphis playing James Wiseman in the face of the NCAA saying he's ineligible, you'll get that pop again from that. But, John, I don't need him against Alcorn State, right? I don't need him against Little to this point, I'm resigned to the fact that I feel like he's going to play this game and it's going to get forfeited at some point later on. The games that you played him probably – well, that's the way I'm chalking this up. Right now you're only at 3. He plays against Alcorn State. He plays against Little Rock, John, some of these teams that you don't need him against. There's going to be more. And maybe it gets to a point, right, where we've got so many you don't get in the tournament. Who knows how that works? Who knows if it gets into your conference season? But where I'm at is I'm ready tonight to see him out there because, again, this is an opportunity against a ranked team, right? You've sort of got this mojo working with you. Memphis versus everybody. You know, the nation's picked it up on this Memphis versus the NCAA headline. So you've got it going again. Go ahead and get the pop. See if it helps you in terms of trying to get that leverage with the NCAA to get them to the table and talk a real settlement that you think is reasonable, equitable, and fair, you know? But that's where you're at is that, you know, yes, I think eventually you have to get to a settlement point. Yep. I'm ready tonight for them to go ahead and throw the triple bird as John Martin just did and play him because I think it helps you with your pop right now in terms of trying to get, again, all you can win right now is court of public opinion.
Yep.
You help that by playing James again tonight in a big game. Screw the NCAA. But eventually you're going to have to come to a conclusion because what you can't put at risk, John, is your entire future as a program over one. I know. Over the biggest ticket that we may ever see come through here. I get that. But there are long-standing risks here associated with playing him in every game. So you're going to need to get to a conclusion at some point. And one that I think that we all think, you know, something that doesn't damage the program going forward.
And I think, Jason, that will come.
Is that reasonable?
I think it will come sooner rather than later. I think
folding is just taking whatever they give you, John.
Right.
You know?
Folding, yes, exactly. And Memphis is not going to do
that. They're not doing that.
Memphis is not going to do that. So, now, again, the NCAA, you know, obviously, you know, they have a lot to consider, too. Are they going to just sort of let Memphis, you know, do this? Are they going to let Memphis
You tell me. You're going to let Memphis set the precedent?
So, it's, you know, listen, it's fascinating.
It really is. We've never seen anything like it.
And I do think at some point, though, I think both parties have incentive for this thing to get figured out. Bottom line, period, point blank. All right, we will talk to Robbie Hummel about this. He was here in Memphis on Friday when all that chaos was going on. We'll get his thoughts on the decision to play him, if he thinks he'll play tonight. Lots more to come. Jason and John, 99 FM, ESPN.
Mercedes-Benz of Memphis doesn't just have employees. They have families, more than 90 of them, actually. So if you want to own a vehicle that you'll love and deal with a family-owned business that treats people, not like customers, this is Gary Parrish encouraging you to go visit Mercedes-Benz of Memphis at 5389 Poplar. I own a Mercedes. Favorite car I've ever driven. Once you have one, you'll never want anything else. And though it's obviously a luxury vehicle, trust me, they're more affordable than most think. Better yet, don't trust me. Go see for yourself. 5389 Poplar is the address. That's Mercedes-Benz Benz of Memphis, our city's original Mercedes dealership.
Hey roofers, have a big job coming up? The Home Depot has all the quality GAF roofing shingles and accessories to help you get it done. And for a limited time, save 10% on GAF Royal Sovereign 3-tab shingles and take an extra 20% off when you buy in bulk. You have jobs to do. We'll help you complete them with GAF Royal Sovereign shingles for 10% off. All other in-stock shingles are also eligible for 20% off bulk pricing. Available at the Home Depot.
Hi, this is Lauren Choate with Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing. Right now, Choate's is offering awesome specials on new tankless water heaters and select Carrier HVAC systems. If you are tired of running out of hot water in your tub or shower and wasting money on utilities, it may be time to go tankless. Call this week to receive 18 months no-interest financing, plus a $200 credit for your old tank water heater. If your AC or furnace is on its last leg, turn to the experts with Carrier and Choate's and receive up to 72 months no-interest financing or $1,650 back in cool cash rebates. And Choate's will give you a free tablet to watch your new Wi-Fi smart thermostat start saving you money. Better hurry. These specials won't last long, so call us at 901-347-8086. And remember, Choate's, let our family serve your family.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Memphis taking on Oregon tonight as part of the PK80. What a week it has been in Memphis. Robbie Hummel was here on Friday as it was all unfolding. He played at Purdue. Now he's doing college basketball work for ESPN. He joins us now. Robbie, what's going on, man?
Not much. How are you doing?
Everything
appreciate
is good
you joining us
here in Memphis. So, it must have felt surreal. I mean, just that night, and obviously you're getting ready to call a game on the ESPN family and networks, and then this news breaks. It must have felt surreal, all that going down.
It was the most bizarre game I've ever been a part of, as a player, commentator, spectator, whatever. Just starting at shoot around. James, he'd left the floor. He'd gone through about half of it. He left the court. He came back out like 10 minutes later. He had changed and left the arena. And, we were sitting there. It's like, well, it is Friday. Maybe he's got class or who knows. But we were concerned that maybe he'd gotten hurt because he hadn't practiced a ton the day before. Then, fast forward to we get to the arena, and like an hour before the game starts, you start seeing on Twitter that James Wiseman is ineligible. And it's like, of course, the one game where I get to see this kid that's like the top one or two pick in the NBA draft, of course he's going to be ineligible on this night. And, like, for 37 minutes, he was ineligible. And then we saw the tweets that there was an injunction and he was going to be eligible. And some random – I have no idea who this guy was. We were sitting at the table, Ted Emmerich and I, and some random guy wearing a Memphis polo, like, walked by and was like, James is going to play. And we were like, well, who is this guy? it was surreal, man. And then just like the scene, I've never done a game where it felt like everything that was happening on the floor was so irrelevant. Now, it helps that Memphis is winning by 600 points. But it didn't seem like that mattered. It was all about the NCAA and James Wiseman and Penny Hardaway.
It was probably Brandon Bumgarner that passed by you, one of their big fans. You said, I think if I'm not mistaken, you said during the game this is a joke, and you're speaking of sort of the NCAA on this thing and how this is going. Do you still feel the same way?
Yeah, I do. I do think it's a joke. I think you know, you're seeing a billion-dollar industry in college athletics, and that's exactly what the NCAA is. Mm-hmm. And you just see kids that they don't get anything monetarily out of it. And I think it's a shame because James Wiseman is the type of kid that he didn't need college basketball. He could have, you know, he could have went pro. And unfortunately, the rules as they are today don't allow him to go to the NBA. But he could have went to Europe or Australia or wherever if he wanted to and just started making money. But, you know, kids don't want to do that. They want to have a college experience. They want to get to play college basketball. And I'm sure that if he could have went to the NBA directly, that would have been something that he highly considered. But on a day where you have the potential number one pick in basketball being ruled ineligible, the potential number one pick in football and Chase Young being ruled ineligible, right, it was like, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. You know, we need to see these kids play. And the whole situation with Penny Hardaway, you know, if you look at the letter of the law, okay, technically, yes, it is an NCAA violation. But I think the rules stink. I just look at them and it's like, all right, Penny Hardaway gave $1 million to the University of Memphis for a new Hall of Fame in 2007, making him a booster. But it's like, would you rather he doesn't do that? He had a great experience at Memphis. He wanted to give back. He's made a lot of money, and some of that spurred on by the fact that he had a great career at Memphis. A lot of it has to do with the fact that he's just an individually talented person. But, you know, he gives a ton of money, and that all of a sudden, you know, 10 years later reflects on him as doing something wrong. It's like, come on. I get that that's the rule, but the rule is stupid. Like, that just because he gave that 10 years ago to me doesn't mean that he should be able to help a kid out. The crazy thing to me is if James Wiseman was an incredible piano player that maybe his family didn't have a ton of money, Penny Hardaway would be looked at as like a hero. Hey, he's doing such a great thing for an underprivileged kid. He's getting into a better situation. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, because he's an athlete, we've like vilified this. And it's just, I'm sick of watching kids have to sit out because their parents take money or whatever. It's like, James Wiseman didn't get that money. Sylvia D'Souza Candace didn't get that money.
Right.
And it's just, it's wrong. You know, you see all these different situations, and the Chase Young and the James Wiseman one is definitely two separate entities, but it's like on the same day, my God.
Knowing everything's at risk, do you applaud everything that they're risking, right, by playing him? And the more you play him, you figure the more you're risking. You feel like you got a chance to be a pretty good team this year, and you obviously after James leaves Memphis, do you commend them on what they're doing, playing him in the face of the NCAA saying he should be ineligible?
You know, I think that we've seen as teams have maybe come under fire, the schools that have fought it have probably come out better than the schools that have complied.
Laid down.
You know, you look at like North Carolina, you know, they fight the whole class thing and they come out pretty unscathed. So to me, I respect University of Memphis for standing up for one of their players. I think because the process was so skewed, where the NCAA rules him eligible, and then they come back and say, well, we shouldn't have ruled him eligible, but since we did, he is eligible. What has changed? You know, what has come out, I guess? And if there is something that's come out, I guess we'll find that when it does. But it's like, well, if he was eligible initially, why is he ineligible now? Like, this isn't something that just popped up. This is something the NCAA has known about for a long time. And it's one of those deals where the NCAA does their due diligence on the top 10, top 15, top 20, whatever players in the country. It's so dumb. Like, it is so dumb. And I think, to me, yes, I do commend the University of Memphis for standing up for doing what they're doing.
In terms of the way it ends, obviously, you know, James has the temporary restraining order, and on the 18th, he will go back to court to attempt to get the preliminary injunction. Do you see the NCAA as the kind of organization, and obviously they're pretty wishy-washy. I mean, it depends case to case, I guess. But do you see them as an organization that, you know, is willing to come to the table and say, okay, enough's enough, let's figure this out? Like, do you see them as that kind of organization?
I mean, I hope so. But I think if we look at what has gone on in the past, that answer would lean towards no, right? It just doesn't seem like, whether it's from a perspective of they just always seem to get it wrong, or like you said, the wishy-washy nature where if we're talking about waivers, one kid's eligibility issues are fine while another's not. It's just you hope so, I guess, is what I'm going to say. History, I don't think, is on their side to make that argument, but I think if you look at college athletics and you look at the change that's coming, and it certainly is, you know, I think the players getting paid for their own likeness is a step. Now, I think this is one of those deals where it's like, I'll believe it when I see it. But with states starting to make these laws and I think the winds of change are finally here. But it's a slow-moving process, and I think that the NCAA, they just take their time on things. Mm-hmm. And some things, it's like it should be an obvious fix. I think, you know, you look at Chase Young at Ohio State. This kid should not be penalized because he took a loan out so his girlfriend could go to see him play in the Rose Bowl. It's like, all right, just if we pay these kids in their likeness, he's a guy that can make a decent amount of money in Columbus, Ohio for playing college football. And believe me, Ohio State is not hurting. I was there Sunday. Their facilities, the way they run their athletic program, there's a lot of money there. So it's one of those deals where it's just, you know, do the right thing and let the kids make some money off themselves, and that will solve a lot of these issues.
Robbie, based on sort of, you know, what we were just talking about, the inconsistency of the NCAA, and also I think Memphis feels a certain type of way, even though it's not the same administration. Memphis feels a certain type of way about the NCAA based on what happened in the Derrick Rose case. You know, they still feel like on some level they're still recovering, you know, from that entire ordeal. Isn't that why you don't just sort of capitulate from the get-go? Isn't that why, you know, he's playing on Friday night? Isn't that why he's playing, you know, tonight and moving forward? Because you can't really show an organization good faith when said organization hasn't reciprocated the same to you. And also, we don't know, like, there's no formula, right? There's no formula. There's no uniform discipline, you know, for these kinds of eligibility issues. You know, like you pointed out, the waiver issue, there's no criteria. Who knows? Who knows what the NCAA is making these decisions on? So if Memphis had an idea, right, whether it's going to be 9 games exactly or 5 games or 7 games, I think maybe the outcome is different. But because you don't know that, isn't that why you don't sit him?
I mean, yeah, I agree 100%. I think that if there was a set standard where it's like, you know, if you have this eligibility issue or, the, you know, whatever, you have fake classes, you have name an NCAA issue. If there was like a precedent set and it was a consistent precedent, I think you would see schools much more willing to, you know, cooperate. But I think because it's been a mixed bag, you know, you're offering classes at North Carolina and you get barely anything. And then you look at another situation where, you know, a small school has some sort of small violation and they get hammered with NCAA violations and they cooperated. It just doesn't look like it's a, you know, a situation where schools are going to say, yeah, that looks like a good idea to do that. And I agree with you that I think the University of Memphis is still feeling put off by the whole Derrick Rose situation. So I just think the NCAA, they need to be more consistent across the board. That's not me making a outrageous claim by any means. I think a lot of people feel that way. And at the end of the day, I just think we can't get to the likeness payments fast enough. It's like, right. I think seeing guys able to profit off their likeness, who cares if, you know, guys can go out and sell their autographs or, you know, sell your memorabilia, or you can do clinics, or you can have a car deal. Like, who cares? It's so irrelevant. And the schools aren't paying for it, so let the market decide. And I think the NCAA would be surprised that a lot of guys won't be able to make as much money as they think. I think certainly, like, James Wiseman can make a lot of money. Zion Williamson last year would make a ton of money. But, you know, if you're playing basketball in West Lafayette, you could probably have like a car deal and maybe a couple local sponsorships, but it's not like you're making, like, you know, in the millions of dollars. But at the same time, you're putting some money in these kids' pockets so that maybe they don't have to do these things.
You saw them Friday night, saw them double up UIC. What'd you think in terms of, I mean, really it's a question, too, of what all's at risk in terms of how far this team can go. You know, the narrative is too young maybe, right? The young teams that start 5 freshmen, they don't win national titles. But with that talent that you saw, and I think we all subscribe to that fundamentally for the most part, but with the talent that you saw, is this the kind of squad with a James Wiseman that is eligible and playing all season long that could do it? Is it a Final Four type team? You think a little bit Should you draw rein it in a little bit? What did you think of what you saw Friday night?
I think Memphis is incredibly talented, and if they shoot the basketball like that, they're going to be a tough out against anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's fair to say UIC was missing their three best players. They were missing two all-conference guys and a center who's averaged about 8-4 for them. So it's not like they had their full roster playing. Now, that being said, Memphis played incredibly well. I think they can be a second weekend team. I just think from playing in the NCAA tournament, from being around it, it is really hard unless you're supremely talented to win with youth in that tournament. It's a tough deal. James Wiseman is an incredible talent. I thought Boogie Ellis played really, really well. Damian Ball is going to be a big kind of X factor for this team to me, because I think you have to have great guard play. You have to have great point guard play. And while he was really good in their opening night win, I believe it was South Carolina State, we'll see what kind of, I guess, playmaker he can be all season long when the competition all of a sudden ramps up. But I was impressed. I really was. I think you saw the poise those guys play with. They have mature kids on their team. But I think through two games, crowning them to be a Final Four caliber team might be a little aggressive. But I do think they can be a second-unit team for sure.
What about Oregon? Obviously, it's a big game for Memphis tonight. It's a top 25 matchup. I know they're led by Peyton Pritchard. Francis Okoro, their big man, got hit by a car last week, so he may not play tonight. What do you make of Oregon and how good they are?
I think, again, a team that's kind of yet to be seen. Sorry, my phone is ringing. I think Peyton Pritchard is the guy that's really stood out for them early on this season. And whenever you play Oregon, you know you're going to have to see some zone, and that means Memphis is going to have to execute some zone offense, and they're going to have to make shots that they did against UIC. Just in talking to Steve McClain, the UIC coach, he said, I'm going to play zone. I'm going to make these guys prove they can make shots. And we saw Memphis come out and almost light the nets on fire to start the game. So if they can do that, that would be a huge difference and a huge help for the Tigers. But I think also executing – and it's going to be a different caliber zone. It's not going to be the UIC zone that they fractured for 2 days, Oregon. They know what they're doing, and they've done a good job of limiting athletic teams like Memphis.
No. Hey, somebody really needs to get a hold of you, Robbie.
Might be the NCAA, Robbie. I think it's the NCAA calling, Robbie.
They're ready to beat down my door, I think, from last Friday.
They're vacating all your years at Purdue, man. Hey, thanks.
Immediately ineligible. It's crazy how that can happen.
Hey, Robbie, appreciate the call,
appreciate
man.
Appreciate you, man. This is great.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys.
Yep, he is Robbie Hummel, ESPN analyst. Former Purdue basketball player who obviously is somebody who's really trying to get a hold of him. It could be an emergency. You never know, but yes, appreciate his time and his insight. He was unequivocal, about the NCAA. He respects and appreciates what Memphis is doing, and he thinks the NCAA is a joke.
Yeah, it sounds like he'd been reading James Wiseman's lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. Well, he probably has. It is an important document in the situation, but
we know there was new information.
Right.
That's the difference here.
Yes, there definitely was new information
somewhere.
According
to U of M.
Yeah, somewhere. Somebody turned in something somewhere.
Who was the whistleblower, John? When are we doing that segment?
I just think it's too irresponsible to speculate. Like I said, I have my suspicions.
Could have been the naked man this morning downtown.
I don't think it was him. I don't think it was him at all.
Do you realize how the number of people that could be?
Oh, exactly.
How high that number is.
No doubt. I mean, it really
could
be.
Those usual suspects.
Like it's sexy to think there's one whistleblower,
Yeah, everybody's going, I've got it.
Yeah, but it could very well be multiple whistleblowers, It could be multiple people. So, anyway, thanks to Robbie Hummel for joining us on the show today. Clay Trav is going to join us at 12:25. We'll talk to him about the James Wiseman case and more. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's Howie with Robert Irwin Jewelers, and every romance isn't the same, is it?
Well, just like every romance is different, every diamond is different, and that's what makes them unique and special, and that's why they're the ultimate symbol of love.
And you have all these different choices at Robert Irwin Jewelers, don't you?
Along with about 300 to 400 different engagement rings that are ready-made, ready to go, you can pick your own diamond at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can pick your own setting. We can put it together for you. So when you get down on one knee, she's going to give you a big yes.
And you have new choices in diamonds at Robert Irwin Jewelers, don't you?
It's called alter-created diamonds. And what those are, unlike traditional diamonds that are mined out of the earth, these are grown in a greenhouse.
So what's the difference?
It's chemically, optically, physically, exactly the same. The only difference is it's 30% less expensive, so you can get a bigger, brighter diamond.
You've done it again, Howie.
No. You've done it again.
Robert Irwin Jewelers is still the best place to get engaged.
And remember, we've got free financing, and we've got something for anybody's budget. Four locations or online at rijewelers.com.
Hey, Memphis, this is Brian Reed, president of Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Old Man Winter is knocking on the door. Make sure your furnace is ready. Right now, get a furnace tune-up for $49, and if you know it's time for a new one, we can install a high-efficiency train system for as little as $130 a month. Call us today for an appointment, 624-1401. That's 624-1401. When it comes to your comfort, you deserve the best.
You deserve the best. Best Care Home Services.
Introducing the Capital One Walmart Rewards Card. Earn unlimited 5% back on everything you buy at Walmart online. It's the perfect card for all your family's hints this holiday season. Like 5% back on the air fryer Grandpa told you about when he fell asleep in his chair.
Didn't fry anything.
Or 5% back on the laptop your sister had carolers sing to you.
Two turtledoves and a laptop for Carrie.
The Capital One Walmart Rewards Card. Earn unlimited rewards, including 5% back at Walmart online. What's in your wallet?
Terms and exclusions apply. Capital One NA.
Hey, Macy's cardholders. Now through December 31st, you can get even more rewards when you join Thanks for Sharing. Just sign up with a $25 enrollment fee charged to your Macy's credit card to rack up 10% back in rewards on most Macy's credit card purchases at Macy's. In February, you'll receive your rewards in the form of a rewards card. You can use it on any merchandise at Macy's. Head to Macy's.com/thanks to join today. Exclusions apply to reward earning purchases. For more info, visit Macy's.com/thanks.
Feeling cramped in your current home? Orion's team of mortgage experts know how to make your home buying process simple. Visit OrionFCU.com and get moving today. Orion is an equal housing lender.
This is Gary Parrish, and I've been telling you about James Davis for years. One of the best clothing stores in the United States of America. It's where I get my suits for television work with CBS Sports. It's also where I get my custom-made stance shirts. And now, it's where I get my custom-made stance pants because, yes, James Davis now has custom-made stance pants. And here to tell us about them is Rob Joyner from James Davis.
Gary, we've been talking for months about Stant custom shirts. Three measurements, 150 try-ons for the perfect fit shirt. Now, Stant and James Davis have the perfect fit pant. Three measurements, 90 try-ons, and done. Custom fit. We can adjust waist, seat, pant, leg for the most comfortable and best fitting pant on the planet. You choose five pocket, jean style, dress pant, many, many fabrics. It's amazing. You have to try a pair to believe it. Starting at $168 and a two-week delivery.
Trust me, you'll love these pants when you get these pants. We have one of the best clothing stores in the country right here in Memphis. You'd be a fool not to take advantage of it. It's James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center on the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
This holiday season, give those on your holiday shopping list a gift of looking and feeling their best with a gift card from Massage Envy. Massage Envy gift cards are available in any dollar amount and can be used for massage, assisted stretch, and facial services, or for purchasing retail products. Massage Envy Spa, four Memphis locations, in Collierville at Carriage Crossing, at Poplar at Exeter, in Midtown on Union Avenue, and in Cordova on Germantown Parkway. It's not too late to feel better. Relax. It's Massage Envy.
Let's up your life with Let's.
Looking to raise the standard on Christmas gifts this year? Come see us at Ladd's for the perfect golf car to surprise your loved one. We have them in new and used models with plenty of options to add and customize. The all-new Club Car Onward is sure to be the talk of the household this holiday season. Ladd's, Witten, and I-40, or visit us online at laddsonline.com.
Ladd's, up your life with Ladd's. Ladd's, up your life.
Hey, I'm Archie, a service tech at Pep Boys. You know, with changing weather and shorter days, you really need reliable brakes. So stop in and have them checked by one of our pros. Your safety is important to us. That's why Pep Boys installs long-lasting Wagner brakes for your car, pickup, or SUV.
And right now at Pep Boys, save up to $60 on a Wagner Premium Brake Service Package. Plus, get a $50 Visa card by mail when you open a new Pep Boys credit card. Up to $60 per axle after mail-in rebate. Credit card subject to credit approval. Details and restrictions at PepBoys.com.
So visit your local Pep Boys service and tire center today.
At Aaron's, we love the holiday spirit. The kindness, the giving, the sharing. For us, that spirit has no season. It's always there, and those doing good all year round. That's why we approve good people other stores won't. Your credit isn't the best? Okay. Need more time to pay? Let's work it out. Want flexible payment options? Sure. Lease to own top brands. Delivery is free. Because good people always deserve better. Aaron's. Easy, beautiful, affordable.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Rolling, holy moly, no days off. Pirates cook it up like Kyrie, trade you off. Let's go. Green and white like Celtics, don't play with me, play with a foul. I'm superior, I'm imperial, I ain't feeling you. I can eat me all by a brick. I got bare buns on my wrist. Blow your college fund. Hold my.
All right, so this is kind of interesting. So as you guys remember, this is kind of old hat by now. We've moved on, right? Bigger and better things. But James Wiseman transferred to East High School in August 2017. If I'm not mistaken, and we talked about this one as well, Ryan Boyce came along to East as well from Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Houston? Yeah, same year. And the TSSAA.
Ryan played 2 years? 1 year. Ryan played 1 year at East? Might be wrong. Maybe he played two. We'll figure that out later.
Well, yeah, because because
James played two.
Yeah, James played two. Ryan Boyce only played one.
Right. So it wouldn't have been the same year, right?
Maybe not. But I mean,
they were off by a year. Anyway.
I mean, Ryan Boyce was in this, you know. Yeah. No, Ryan Boyce was there 17 to 18.
Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't
realize Ryan had 2 years left.
Yeah. Well, no, he went because he came to Memphis 18, 19. So he was a senior 17, 18. So he played 1 year with James.
That's it. 1 year.
Yeah. He played 1 year with James. So anyway, the TSSAA obviously was saying because there was a coaching leak, that James and Ryan Boyce should have been. Because they played for Team Penny.
So it's intended to keep, you know, AAU squads from just bringing their whole squad to high school teams, right, and having them transfer and just playing for the high school coach.
Yeah. So anyway, that was the initial ruling, right, and the TSSAA said that James and Ryan Boyce should be ineligible. Well, East High School and James, much the same way here, got a temporary restraining order against the TSSAA, and eventually, I want to say in December 2017, I read a story where there was a ruling that there was no coaching link. They established that there was no coaching link, and James and Ryan Boyce were eligible to play. Ryan Boyce finished out his senior season, came to Memphis, and then James Wiseman obviously played his junior year and his senior year at East High School. Well, today, and this is interesting timing, and it's also interesting the powers that be here. Jim Kyle, who is the same judge that issued James Wiseman's temporary restraining order last Friday in Shelby County Court, ruled today that the TSSAA did not violate the athlete's property rights and that a coaching link rule was not too vague, basically ruling in favor of the TSSAA.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Does that mean they go back and take the rings and strip East of a couple of state titles?
Well, so obviously that's got to be on the table, right? That's got to be on the table. The TSSAA has yet to issue any punishment. By the way, this is according to the Commercial Appeal. Let me give credit to the Commercial Appeal here. The TSSAA has yet to issue any punishment toward East High since the ruling. The Memphis school system has appealed the decision, issuing a motion to alter or amend Kyle's decision. And so now this will play out, in court like these things typically do. But I find it interesting that the same judge that granted James Wiseman's temporary restraining order is also the judge who basically just awarded a victory to the TSSAA. I just find that kind of coincidental and interesting.
I'm not going to lie to you. I thought this thing was already dead. I thought the TSSAA had stopped pursuing this. I guess I should have known otherwise. I remember they had a battle with Brentwood Academy back in the day, if I'm not mistaken, a private school sort of hey, can you advertise thing, if I'm not mistaken, it was. That battle was up in court for a while, but I thought this was done. And you figured East made the smart play, right, getting it hung up in court. Because we've kind of compared it to the situation now. But the situation then was obviously get it in court. We're going to play James Wiseman. Remember, the risk was always, well, if you play him now, it could be declared ineligible later. Well, what about the other guys on your team, right? That's them not winning a state title. And here we are all these years later, and it appearing that he's ruled in favor of the TSSAA to the point that maybe this could be stripped from East High. Here's the deal. The TSSAA won, right? They were hot to get Penny on this one, right? They felt like he'd done a wrong here, he'd violated their rules, and they stayed with it the entire time. I would not be surprised if you saw a similar sort of approach from the NCAA. Like, right? They're going to fight this. They're never going to if you go all the way, right, they're going to fight you all the way on this till it's done. That's one thing. They won't run out of money or lawyers or that kind of thing. They'll go all the way. And why? Because they wouldn't want a precedent set by a – if they're not going to let a Kansas or a North Carolina set a precedent, right, then why would they let a Memphis? That's what I'm concerned about, right, is them fighting you to the end, tooth and nail, right, because you're Memphis. And if we let the little guy win in this instance, right, with quotes around it, little guy, we certainly don't see ourselves that way.
Yep.
But that's setting a precedent where every school can come at us, right? They want to be at our tournament, but they can challenge our rules. They want to be a part of us. They've agreed to our rules, but they want to challenge them. I just see them fighting you balls to the wall for it.
Yeah.
We saw here, TAA didn't never, you know, they never stopped fighting. I guess they get the ruling here.
Yeah, so it's interesting, you know, and obviously, like,
does the runner-up get the state title? That those two, I mean, we got to go back and look. And this is for.
Well, did he win the state title last year?
They didn't win it his senior year, I want to say. But
yeah,
they won it his junior year.
Yeah, because they.
So you'd go back
Penny
and get that one.
Penny was very emotional, I remember that. And Alo, right?
Uh-huh.
Penny and Alo and Boyce and Malcolm Dandridge, obviously. So.
All those guys were state title. And I want to say the one the year before that,
yeah.
Before Wiseman got there.
Right. So that one would still remain intact, you know,
under
of this. But it is certainly a fascinating, you know, and people are saying, you know, they're responding to it by saying not good.
I don't know that that's going to – that ruling will have no bearing.
Relevance, exactly. There's no – it has nothing to do with
now,
the
was
other.
Information shared? You know, might the NCAA have gotten some of its information from the – just in the sense that, look, the TSSAA was digging into this thing, Penny's time as a – as the sort of the coach of Team Penny, which was always sort of at the center. Is he a coach? Is he founded? What does he do? Right? And then this time at East. So you figure the TSSAA has done some investigating. I just wonder if the NCAA has any of that information was passed on. That said, no, John, I'm with you completely, at least to the folks that are tweeting at you. You don't feel like that will have any bearing on this at all. They're two separate things.
Tarvis tweets and says, this may be to make it seem as if the judge is not lenient or favorable towards Memphis and James Wiseman. I don't know if the NCAA would even look at something like this or consider something like that, or, you know, I just don't know, you know, what the thinking process is there, you know, but maybe, I guess that's possible. Not that I feel like a judge would have to worry about what the NCAA thinks. A Shelby County judge would not give a damn what the NCAA thinks, you know.
Well, this is this is weird because you bought rings for that team. You're not giving your rings back.
Well,
guess TSSAA that could go to East and go demand to get its gold ball back, but to that's about. Other than that, you rewrite the books. You give the runner up the trophy.
It's like when Louisville had to vacate its national championship. You know, like, didn't Louisville still hang the banner?
Did Louisville hang the banner? I don't know. Are they allowed? Can they?
I don't know.
They had to take – that's part of the deal. They have to take that thing down, John Martin. I thought that's part of the deal. They still got it up. There's another double bird situation.
Yeah, they did have to take it down.
You got to take it down, bro.
Yeah, so I guess – I don't know. You don't have to give it back.
I mean, this one, what we can say, doesn't affect James in college, right? No long-standing effects. The one from Memphis threatens to Penny's moved on from East, right? That's done. East is back to being – you know, not the basketball power that it was, still a basketball power.
Mm-hmm.
With Memphis, it's different. You got a lot more at stake. There's no question about it, and a lot more resources on the part of the people you're going against. But TSSAA, they never stop fighting. I heard up there at the Tennessee folks that are in the National High School Hall of Fame up there, they got pictures of them.
Yeah,
they turned Penny's picture over. They don't like him up there.
Really?
I told you about that on the air. That I'd heard. I hadn't been in the office, but heard that his picture, because he's a member of the National High School Hall, and all of your all your Tennessee guys, right? That's up there. They've got they're on a wall up there, allegedly, right? The pictures of them. That Penny's got turned over because they wanted him so bad.
Interesting. Well, the NCAA is hot after Memphis too, so I don't know. It's one of those things.
Probably sharing information, John.
Yeah.
Probably working together.
Well,
working against the man with a target on his back.
Which organization is more incompetent? Like, of the two, which is worse?
Both of them have had some awful rulings.
The TSSAA is awful.
Dude, they
are god awful.
No, any chance they got to screw West Tennessee over, they're going to do it. They've been doing that for years.
Years.
I covered preps.
Yeah.
I saw them.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it wasn't just the inner city schools. You'd see Houston and Briarcrest on a brawl get screwed. I mean, they'll do it to you. TSSAA will. So John, they're both. Oh man, I couldn't answer that one. Who's more? Well,
it's like the superpowers of incompetence.
Told you once. I had Bernard Childers telling Stokes one thing and saying he said something to me. I had it on tape. He said he didn't say it to me. I had it. Told man tried to get me, John.
Yeah. So you got it's like the mega powers. You got Hulk Hogan, which is the NCAA, and you got Macho Man Randy Savage, which is the TSSAA. Together, they form one of the absolute worst and most incompetent teams we have ever seen.
Both of them got a target on Penn. They need to stop.
Anyway, that's the latest from the commercial appeal that a judge, the same judge that granted James Wiseman the temporary restraining order, and who I assume he will be in front of.
For the injunction here?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.